You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 173 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and My New Horse. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse, brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's show, we caught up with thoroughbred power couple Joe Sharp and Rosina Pravnik to learn how they keep all the plates spinning from training racehorses to sport horses. Then we meet an adoptable standardbred of the week and a new training tip with New Vocations' Bridget Heasley. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Retired Racehorse Radio.
This is Joy Orr from Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York, and you are listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Kristen, it is officially spring. It is great.
Thank goodness.
I know it doesn't really count in the Midwest till about May, sometimes June, depending on the year, but on paper, it feels good to know that we've made it through winter.
We are doing so much gardening and like probably too soon and all of our stuff's going to freeze, but you know,
we're giving ambition, though.
Yeah.
What's in the garden this year? What can we expect?
Oh boy, I have a whole spreadsheet, which I will not open and read to you this year, but like some of everything, as we do. Eric has gotten really ambitious with the tomatoes. So, and he takes them to work with him, which I think is really funny. He says he has I haven't seen his office. He says a big south facing window with good light. So every Monday morning, he takes his little tomato children to work to give them like the max light there. And then on Fridays, he brings them home because he's worried they're going to get lonely. Dry, I don't really know, but he brings them home every weekend. So.
Then it's precious and must be protected.
Yes. Yeah. He just is like, comes toddling up the stairs in his suit with his tray of tomatoes. And I'm like,
but I love
okay.
It. Like a prosecutor. Like,
yeah.
It's not like he has like a soft job.
Right. And I think I'd like to think that's one of the things that kind of like, you know, helps them keep their humanity, you know, in like jobs like that where they're like looking at the worst stuff all the time. And then he's like, my tomatoes. I'm like, jolly, that's good. I'm very happy for you.
And you know what? Planting tomatoes is so much more cost effective than therapy, but I recommend both.
Yeah, I'm not sure it is cost effective, to be honest. Like, the amount, like, oh my God, tomatoes are so much work. You just go buy started tomato plants.
Apparently not with sweat equity. Therapy is a lot cheaper when it comes to sweat equity.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we'll see how it goes. Like, that's the other thing. I'm like, okay, well, now you have to like harden them off and then you have to do all sorts of other things with them. And then you're supposed to put a fan on them so they get stronger. And I'm like, for crying out loud, like, just go to the nursery and get some tomato plants. But it'll be very satisfying if it works.
I was like, you could have just had a baby. It sounds like the same amount of work.
Yeah, I don't, generally it's frowned upon to eat the baby, right?
No, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, okay. See, I can eat the tomatoes.
Not get sad out of it. You will get lots of pictures on your phone, though. You get that with tomato plants growing as well. If you're
I'm going to start doing that. Every time you send me a picture of your kids, I'm going to send you a picture of a plant.
I'm now expecting it.
Okay, that's great. Okay, well, if for anyone who has been following our little farm Instagram account, it's really just our like unhinged gardening account at this point. But I'm particularly proud. I have a seed snail. I keep turning around, which is why my voice probably sounds funny, because I keep turning around to look at it. It's behind me in my office. It's full of onions who have just started. So I'm very pumped about that.
That's fun.
Yeah. If you're getting like a farm vibe here, like this is all kind of in keeping with like big changing of the seasons, because we haven't mentioned this yet, but this episode will drop April 10th and I will be 4 days into my new job at that point.
What are you feeling? Like that's a big shift.
Yeah. We like really buried the lead on this episode because people are like, oh, Kristen, she works for RRP. Not anymore, actually. I found a new opportunity locally and it felt like time for a change. So moving away from the horse industry for the first time in my entire adult life, actually.
I know, because like when I first, I'm going to call meeting you, which is truthfully us both being auditors at Horse Radio Network, and you were working for, why can't I think of the publication right
now? Oh, Horse Nation.
Yes, Horse Nation. You were writing articles there, and you'd occasionally guest on Horses in the Morning, or they talk about one of your articles, and then you got the job at RRP. Like, you've been with horses for a long time. I mean, you've talked about your time working with ranching and all that. Like, been here for a minute. This is a really big chapter.
Yeah. So, and like, the nice thing is when you work, you know, like at the nonprofit level, I mean, I feel like I've just sort of been making like adjacent steps. And I'm like coming to terms with the fact that like a career is kind of a many faced thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, what am I, 37? Let's go with that. 37. You know, like when you're 20, you're like, I'm going to pick something and that's it for the rest of my life. And then you realize, like, as you age, like tastes change and interests change and you develop different skills and like the landscape changes. And, you know, I think this is actually a fairly natural part of a working life. And I've been with RRP for almost 8 years, which is a really long time in aftercare and nonprofits. So time to switch it up. I'll be working for the farmers market. So.
Which I feel like is a really natural progression for you. It's still in your like wheelhouse of interest. But I think there is something about stepping away from horses for a minute that makes you have a chance to love it the same level of passion as before.
That's what I'm hoping for. Like, it's to the point now, like, I really enjoy still doing the podcast because that's like everyone's second question is like, are you still going to do the podcast? Like, yes, we are here.
We are partners.
Join our still here.
The RRP podcast.
It's not. It is produced in partnership. And there's no hard feelings with RRP either. I'm going to like put that out there as well. Like, parting on very good terms. We will be maintaining the RRP partnership with this podcast. Like, wish everybody at RRP the best of luck. It just was time for me to take a break from Thoroughbred Aftercare in particular. But I'm looking forward to like enjoying horse racing again.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be hard. And I really do feel like when it becomes your job, like everyone wants to say, like, I want to make my passion my job. Sometimes it works out great. And sometimes it works for a while. Like, I love teaching. I love training horses. I know I should never be a professional instructor, a professional horse trainer, because I will not love it anymore at a certain point.
Yeah. I ground that out for about 4 years. And then I was like, I don't know that this is actually my jam. Mm-hmm. And I think like, again, too, like, you know, because I did love it for a while and I really loved what I was doing at RRP for a long while. And it's just, I just think it's a natural part of life to change and try new things. And life is short. So if you want to try new things, like just go try them. Don't wait.
Yeah. Careers are all about your transferable skills at the end of the day. Unless you're a surgeon, maybe not.
Yeah, there are certain areas, I think, where you're like, okay, this is a very specific set of skills that I have, and I should probably maintain this.
Surgeons, but, you know.
I mean, unless you want to, surgeons who listen to this podcast, if it's time to be like, you know what, I'm going to go work for the farmer's market, like, great.
A chocolatier to do open heart surgery on me.
A chocolatier has to have a steady hand.
Yeah, that's a good point. Listen, here we go. You just changed my mind. It's all about transferable skills.
Now you sound like me in my interview. I was like, listen, I know I'm going to talk about horses a lot for the next hour, but I promise you these skills all transfer. And they were like, okay. And they bought it. So, you know, thanks,
you
farmers market.
No.
So, yeah, you know, it's fine. I'm just blowing my whole life up this spring and starting over again. But, you know, what about you? What are you up to?
I'm actually feeling going backwards and getting back to my roots. I feel like free baby. I scheduled my first riding lesson. So I have some horsey content for once.
Uh-huh.
You know, you guys are probably a little over the baby content. I'm never over them, but listeners might ask for some horsey content a little bit. So yes, I have my first lesson coming up. Actually, when this episode airs, will be my first lesson day back. And I'm very excited and also very nervous.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Also, you said going backwards. I don't think that's going backwards at all. I think that's cyclical. I think you're coming back around, but not backwards.
That's a good point to it. Yeah, it's a better way to say it. I guess, like, for me, I try not to overfocus on the pre-baby life because that is gone. That is a closed book. It's not even a chapter, just a closed book. We can't go back there. For not just legal reasons, but I don't want to. But I am excited to get back to some of the things that made me feel like me and not always just being a mom or my role at work. So what's really fun is, I know I talked about it last episode, it's just I'm not on my own horse for once. Like, she's still retired. She's loving it. So I get to play around, and I'm going to be riding a dressage schoolmaster. Super stoked for that.
And that's exciting. A horse
that knows more than me, which will be great. So I have an option of either a Spanish barb horse or a quarter horse. So we're going to see which one I get put on, which one I jive with best. That's where I will start. My goal is just to do like 1 to 2 lessons a month just to get a feeling and wean my children from me a little bit and give my husband a little more confidence that he can do this when I'm not home. He's very good with them, but I understand that I have the benefit of being a food source when things start to get a little wild. And we know we never spend just an hour at the barn. So it's going to...
I love that.
Test my time management, but it's going to be good.
Yeah. No, I'm excited that you get to do something for you.
Yeah. Me too. I'm really stoked. And then I'm also thinking about taking some hunter lessons as well as we get more into summer. But I also get to be a fair weather rider for the first time in my life. I don't have like a green horse I have to keep fit through the winter.
There you go.
And I'm like, this is amazing. Like, if it sucks outside, I'm like, oh, I'm only doing 2 months. So,
yeah, you can just schedule.
Yes. So nice. I'm going to be the dressage princess I've always wanted to be.
Oh, heck yeah. Personally, I hope it works with the barb. I think that horse sounds very cool. But I have ridden many excellent quarter horses as well in my life. So,
yeah, I think it'll be fun. And I love this person. She is a dressage judge that I've scribed under multiple times. I have a lot of respect for her. She's very blunt, but we have like the same sense of humor.
So perfect.
I've asked her to pretend I've never ridden a horse and to tear me apart and put me back together. And she was very excited of the concept.
Nice.
Maybe too excited.
Well, go in strong, I guess. I'm not worried about you. You're tough.
Yeah, I am worried about my body, but that's okay.
Yeah, that'll come though.
Yeah.
You're so active too. Like, I know you're not like, you know, doing the scale of workouts you were doing before, but like, you're not just sitting on the couch either.
No, but I will tell you, so carrying the twins, and I'm very comfortable talking about weight, I was at 212 pounds, which beforehand I was around like 150. So that's quite a big weight shift for me. My knees are not the same. I don't ever recover from being that heavy. And I'm not, you know, again, that was just heavy for me at a very quick pace with their growth.
Right.
So my body never got a chance to adjust properly. So I have had like some knee weakness out of it. But besides that, we'll just see, you know, we'll just see how it goes. But I have all the time to just build up strength, build up confidence, go from there.
I love that. I'm so excited to, you know, cheer you on from here.
Me too. And get some love back for horses as well. I need that too. Why do our lives continue to parallel?
They really do. I was just thinking, I was like, oh man. Yeah. So if listeners have been like burned out on us being burned out, like, don't worry, listeners. We're fixing it for you. Also for us.
So it should be good. But I am super excited for today's episode. We have a powerhouse couple, which I also think will excite me to get back into horses. I love hearing people with this type of energy. So we're going to have Rosie Napravnik and her husband, Joe Sharp. I don't even know where the conversation is going to go, even though I know we have pre-questions and we probably won't stick to any of them. So it's going to be epic. But before we get into that, we're going to hear from our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products. When your horse loses significant amounts of electrolytes and fluids as he sweats, problems such as dehydration, muscle cramping, fatigue, tying up, and colic may occur. Even in mild forms, these conditions can have a negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Research shows that electrolytes help regulate nerve and muscle function and maintain a healthy fluid balance. Summer Games Electrolyte is formulated to replenish electrolytes and trace minerals that are lost when your horse sweats, regardless of the season. It also stimulates the thirst response, so he continues to drink and stay properly hydrated. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974.
All right, well, we have with us today, I think, like a thoroughbred power couple, two people that I think are very, very cool. And I'm excited to have both Rosina Pravnik and Joe Sharp on the show with us today. So, yeah, guys, thanks for joining us. Just to illustrate, too, like what it was like, this is very indicative of like a day in the life, right? Because Joe's at Turfway, so he's called in, and Rosie's home in Kentucky at the farm and is zoomed in. So we managed to like bring both of you guys in here on one platform, which I think is very cool.
Well, right. I mean, it was.
Go ahead.
It was. I was made aware of it about 10 minutes ago, and it was. But you know, as ironclad scripture in our house, if it's in the calendar, then you're supposed to know about it. So it was in the calendar. So in Rosie's defense, I guess I missed it in my daily browse.
Even though I also missed it in the calendar, even though I put it in the calendar, and I totally was just going through my day at 100 miles an hour, and I was like, oh, Joe, we got to do this thing. It's in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
No minute like the last minute.
We're glad to be here.
I have been excited about this actually for quite a while.
Well, good deal. Tell me about the calendar. Like, how much does the calendar keep all the wheels on?
Well, I have had to teach myself how to use the calendar, but the calendar would work better if it like would electrocute me when I have to do things or move on to the next thing or remember something that's not routine, because my worst trait is like I think that I know what's in the calendar, so I don't check it. So that's kind of what happened tonight. It's very colorful. You know, we have home stuff, which I put this specifically under home stuff because we share that calendar. So we both get those notifications. And then we have like the boys stuff. And then I have horse shows, which I actually also put Joe in. So he knows like when I might be out of town and that we probably needed to talk about it if I'm going to be out of town. And then I have all of my personal stuff in there, but my calendar is like a big fat rainbow of all kinds of different categories. And it's very full.
I think that calendar is a complete trap. It doesn't have it never has my racing schedule in it. It's only everything else in the world. So, but it's, you know, it's a good reference point for kids sports for sure. The rest of it, I think, is a trap.
Okay. No, and I launched us right in being like, Rosie and Joe, everyone knows who they are, which is like probably not very fair. So Joe is Joe Sharp Racing. So how many horses do you have, and like where are they all at? Like how many horses are in your string right now?
So currently we have about 120. We're divided between Keeneland Churchill and Turfway and Belmont, with the bulk of our population in Kentucky between the three tracks there. So we actually just finished up the winter in New Orleans, and looking forward to the spring and summer where we'll mainly be based in Kentucky with a presence in New York as well.
So just casually keeping track of 120 horses, like no big deal. That's fine. Very normal.
It's not as hard as you think, honestly. We have a lot of good team members that help with it. And, you know, I would say the horses are the easy part. Sometimes the human resources become a bit more challenging, but, you know, when I was an assistant for coming up, I was assistant for guys who had a lot of horses. So I was able to get the experience of having being in charge of multiple large numbers of horses at different locations. So it really helped me to be prepared to have a string of that size when I went on my own.
Super. And then Rosie is Rosina Pravnik, like champion jockey turned champion off-track thoroughbred trainer. How many horses have you got going on right now?
Oh, it's a sore subject. Well, I mean, like, normally my answer to that is like so many overwhelming amounts, but I actually I have my big horse just recently got hurt in the field. So this is the horse, actually, like one of the only horses I've ever ridden that I didn't start myself. I I sold Mo, Santa Mo, who is the horse that I won the eventing discipline with at the makeover in 2019. He didn't quite really want to go up the levels with me. So I found him the most wonderful home 10 minutes down the road from me with an adult amateur who absolutely, you know, spoils him to death. And I get to see him showing all the time. So it's wonderful. But I went out and I played the system against itself. I went out looking for a horse that had vetting issues so that I could afford a horse that had a little bit more experience than I did.
Oh my God, smart.
Yes. You know, someone who sells horses, you get beat by that system all the time. A horse that's very sound with a, you know, imperfect bedding. So I purchased this horse. He's had gone through the advanced level, and we came up and I was able to move up to intermediate, my own first intermediate in the fall. We did two intermediates, had a massively successful season, had a winter off, and yes, got hurt running around the mud in, you know, February or March. So bad timing, but so there's a little bit of a downer there, but I've actually got a couple of horses that I'm starting right now. One is actually a horse of Joe's, one of Joe's favorite horses named Runnin' Ray, who is, I just looked him up. He's either 9 or 10 now. I think he's 9. But I, Joe, you got him when he was 2, isn't that right?
Yeah, we had him as a 2-year-old. He was a horse that was probably our best one of the crop that year. He got injured and came back and ended up being a really good horse. He made, how much did he make? About 700, something like that?
I'd have to look him up. Yeah, so I actually had him here at the farm on layup years ago. But he's just been like a staple in the Joe Sharp Racing stable for years and, you know, 7 years, I guess. And he was actually, he was claimed away from Joe, and then he sustained an injury on the track, and they, you know, I think the person who had him was actually had worked for Joe, and so they called Joe and said, hey, do you want to, you know, take this horse to retire him? They always knew that he wanted to retire him, so he's been, yeah, he's been hanging out for like 10 months, 10, 11 months, and he had a tendon injury, which I actually just scanned today and got the all clear to go ahead and do all the things. Yeah. So, and I had a great ride on him today. He jumped his first little logs. Then I also, for the very first time, the first time since like 2021, I entered the makeover. Yay!
Oh, yay!
Yeah. And I have two possible horses. So Ray will most likely go, and then I may add a second horse. And so for the first time, which I've been wanting to do for so long and just like timing hasn't worked out, is I adopted a horse from New Vocations from our Louisiana facility. So I'm super excited about that horse. But I also, he just finally lost a shoe, one of his race plates that he's had on since December.
Oh, no.
he lost that shoe last week, and just, you know, very typical. I kind of was like waiting for it to come off or for the shoes to come off, and he just really needs some time to grow out those nail holes. So I've had to kick another one out. He'll be like, you know, living out in the wild for 2 months. And then I have one of Joe's pony horses that I'm just starting to work with. It's like a Frisian quarter horse cross, and I've ridden him like a couple of times, and he's just the most adorable thing. So a horse that just was not built to pony at the racetrack, and he's actually in the program, so he still gets to be under the off-track sport horses label because he came from the track. He was a track pony.
I love that one.
Yeah, so, and then, you know, if the barn ever seems like there's not enough to do, it's like, wait 5 minutes. You know, like, first of all, that doesn't really ever happen. But if you think, like, you know, it's probably the same with racehorses. Like, if you think you're getting down on numbers, like, just wait 5 minutes and then you'll be overwhelmed. So I've got another student coming back from Florida for the winter. She's bringing a mare that I actually picked out and was a little bit out of my budget. So my student and I were kind of looking for the same type of horse. And so even though she was everything I wanted and one of the most exceptional young thoroughbreds I've seen on the internet in a really long time, I suggested she take a look. And so she ended up buying the mare and she's going to bring her in for training too. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to go from a slow spring to a very busy spring very quickly. And we've got some others too that are, you know, turned out and whatnot. So full season it's going to be.
Full house. I love that.
The man is quite crazy. I mean, he will visit 3 racetracks in one day, like Churchill, Keeneland, and Turfway, like in one morning, one training. I guess that's during the winter when the training hours are a little bit weird, you know, weird and different. One of the tracks trains later in the day, but he makes his way around to all the racetracks and he rides all of the horses. Like that is That is the craziest thing of all. And I think it's probably a huge advantage for him. But I will say, like, he's kind of calmed down over the years of, like, having to be in 100 places at once. He has toned that down just a little bit. He used to actually, like, haul his horses everywhere when they were racing. And I was like, hey, don't you get to step into, like, a management role where you don't have to be the horse hauler also?
But I also get that, right? Like, you're in a management, like, sometimes you miss the hands-on part, right? If you're too much in the management role. So I can appreciate that.
Is it my turn now? You want to?
Yes, you can have a turn, honey.
She's helped me have perspective on that. But that, you know, to be fair, that was a long time ago when I was doing the hauling. But I do like to still go, you know, a lot of times, a couple of days a week, I'll be at both tracks, you know, between Keeneland till the first break and then go to Churchill for the second half of the morning.
How long do cars last in your family?
Not long.
So I'm about every 2 years with my. I'm about every 2 years.
He's a chronic car killer.
No, they don't die. I just get, you know, I get a lot of miles on them, and then I, you know, move on to one that's less mileage. But, you know, it's I do enjoy getting to see all the horses. You know, on a daily, weekly basis. You know, it's important to me, and it's something that. You know, and I know that not everybody has to do it that way to get the same result, but for me, it's important, and I still enjoy it. So I'll keep pressing on as long as I do.
I love that. That's become like the default theme of this show. Like, you know, is like or like this episode specifically is like, do what you like because life's too short to do anything else.
We have definitely lived our lives by that. Like whenever the Facebook notification comes up of like the anniversary when we like closed on our farm, like for some reason that specific memory is like, wow, if we ever thought anything through, we'd have missed out on so much.
Yes, that's very accurate.
We don't.
Thank God it all worked out.
We just roll with the punches, I guess. But you know, it's very unique to have two people that can roll that well together, I will say.
Yeah. And like, you know, I mean, is there a secret to it? Like what, how do you guys figure out, you know, like you're each doing your own thing, but you're also collaborating all the time. And of course, like you have a family too, which is also collaborative.
Yeah. I mean, we do really well with that. There's a lot of, we give each other a lot of respect and trust with the space and the time, and I don't think that one of us expects an unrealistic expectation of the other one when it comes to parenting and comes to time. And I think when things need done, we get them done, and you know, there's a lot of high-fiving and passing. You know, I think if anything falls short on time, it's probably time with just the two of us, as anybody with young kids would probably experience. But aside from that, I would say that there's, you know, we're very fortunate. Even, you know, we have a lot of, most of our meals are, you know, when I'm back in the spring, summer, and fall, and most of our meals are sitting down together with all of us, you know. So that's, you know, that's important to us. And I think we both do a really good job of that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And are the boys pony racing too, or they were at one point? Are they still?
Carson is.
Our oldest.
Carson is really into it. Tucker is an animal lover, and he will jump on a horse once a year and just run and jump everything in sight, and then, you know, not have interest for another year. You know, sometimes, like, I think even on like Mother's Day last year or something, I forced him to do it, and he had like the time of his life, and like, but, you know, it's just not his big interest. He does a ton of different things. He does basketball. He's doing soccer, but he's also like, this is my last year at soccer, which he's also done that before. He does all the things. He loves to do, you know, Joe and Tucker were fishing today and all the things. But Carson really has gotten into the pony racing like pretty hardcore, to the point where, you know, my childhood was like, I had the best childhood. I just, not to say it was easy, but it was very, very wonderful in all of the experiences that I got to, you know, had the privilege of having. And pony racing was one of my favorite things I've ever done. I mean, it was so fun. And it so fun, but it also involves like a lot of commitment and, you know, a lot of practice and that sort of thing. And so I really just wanted to share that fun experience with them. So I kind of like went hardcore in the lead line trot races. Like Tucker did his first lead line trot race at like 18 months or something. And maybe that's where it started to go south for him. But Carson, you know, he's been on a couple of different ponies. I've done a really good job of keeping him on really bad ponies. You know, the type that just...
The kind you learn from. Yeah.
The kind you learn from. Yes, absolutely. And so, so he's now on... He was on a medium, but he moved on to a small, who is just a little bit of a naughtier pony that didn't really have a kid. And he's turned him into a little race pony, and they're a really cool team. And then I've insisted that, cause he only gets the pony race like 2-3 times a year. We're driving 10 hours every time we go. So, but you know, like I said, it takes a lot of commitment. So I make him have an off season goal so that he'll ride every day still. So in the off season or whenever we're not pony racing, we're doing pony jumpers. And so he's actually qualified for the pony jumper finals this year.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so we're busy with the ponies there, and we're doing sports and doing all the things, but it's just they are a blast. They're so fun.
That's amazing that you guys were able to do that many things. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, so before we left, I mean, we snuck an hour of fishing in Tucker and I, and then Carson was breathing his pony during that time, and then went inside to get all dressed up because he thought he was going to get to come to the Turfway Park with me tonight to the races, and was pretty sad to find out it was a school night and he wasn't going to be allowed to go. He gave it like 3 tries starting yesterday, and mom was tough. So
I was going to say, how is he supposed to turn into a prodigy if you don't let him go to the races?
Oh, well, he has a hard time getting up for school. So he told me last night, it's not my fault. You made me go to bed too late. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, we made it earlier tonight. And then he wanted to throw in, can I go to Turfway? And I was like, I'm sorry, but I have no choice to say no.
you did that to yourself.
You did that to yourself.
Sorry. Man. Our kids refer to us as I'm the pillow and Rosie's a spike. So that's just pillow. And yeah, my daughter, who's 21, she identified that when she was in high school. And then it's kind of carried over to the boys.
Younger than high school.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. So that's it. Mom's a spike and dad's the pillow. So.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't enjoy it, though. He puts me in that position. For example, we had that discussion last night. And then he sends the child out to me all dressed up to go to the races to ask me if he can go. And I have to say no again after the three of us had the conversation together.
I've been gone all winter, so it's harder for me to say no when I get back.
So if you ever see a Joe Sharp trained or owned horse named Loophole, you'll know that it's named after Joe, because he will create a loophole so the kids like don't get in trouble, or so that they can have what they want, or like, so yeah, he's the, I mean, it's the voice same of, when we acquire reason. Farm animals. Like it's not fun to be the voice of reason, but somebody has to do it.
Yeah.
All right. So next time I want to get a farm animal, then I should call Rosie.
Yeah.
If you don't want to get one, then you call me.
All right.
She just wants to replace that word with responsibility is what she says every time you go to get something new.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So, okay. So there's periods of time then, Joe, where you're, you know, kind of at like a satellite, so to speak, you know, like you're further away, from the home.
Yeah. Yeah. Winters are fair. I'm in New Orleans. That's probably the time when I'm gone the most. And, you know, they get to come down about 3 times over the course of the winter. Long Christmas break, they all come down, and Mardi Gras, and then usually one other weekend. So, you know, it helps fast the time for me down there. And right. I come home. Yeah, you know, I come home a few times during the course of the winter. So for me, it goes pretty quick. For them, I'm sure it doesn't. But, you know, it's kind of the best scenario we can do considering, you know, the cards were dealt. And, you know, our boys have been lucky to have, New Orleans as a part of their childhood from the time they were born and, you know, have that culture in the wintertime. So it's fun. I mean, we have a little racetrack community like the Ortizes and the Hernandezes that they all stay up in school and are all have a little friend group up here and then come down to visit the dads in the wintertime and are down on basically on vacation together in New Orleans, all the kids. So it's a cool little rotation for everybody. But it's definitely hard on Rosie and the other moms when, you know, we're down there for the winter, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. I grew up, my dad was a long haul trucker. So I was like very accustomed to like, yeah, dads are only home on the weekends. Like, I just thought that was how it was, you know? So it's like,
yeah, my son told me that I'm gone for 2/3 of his life. And I was like, I thought I was really crushing it.
It's really, really brutal when they come out and say things like that, because they like, of any person I've ever known, Joe's effort to be present for family and present for business, like nothing really is that sacrifice, or at least they're perfectly equal, you know, nothing really pulls the weight over the other. They're just, I don't know how he balances it, but he does it extremely well.
Yeah, this is inspiring listening to you guys, like I'm enjoying this. So okay, is there such thing as okay, let's set aside the winter season. Is there such thing as a typical week for you guys?
I would say right now is probably one of our most typical time of year where we're able to, you know, get a little bit of a schedule. But it's Rosie teaches her lessons and rides her horses until about, you know, dinner time, and I go to work in the morning. She gets kids off to school every morning. I usually pick them up from the school bus, and then we come home and do a little activity or go to soccer practice and whatnot. And then I'll gather for dinner and rinse and repeat. I would say that's kind of a normal day when I'm home.
Those are the high five moments that he's referring to, where it's like, hey, okay, see you later. Hey, okay, see you later. And then, we do sit down and eat dinner all together a lot. Like, whenever we're, like, in the same state, typically, we all eat together. Now, for a kid that grew up, you know, eating boiled hot dogs at 9 p.m. and not necessarily all together or on the way home from the bar. And like, I think that's pretty special that we sit down and have dinners. So,
I mean, just for the American family in general, that's increasingly abnormal, I think, right? To be able to have family dinner, let alone like all the stuff you guys are trying to accomplish in a day. Like, I mean, horses in general, generally you're like, are not accustomed to regular mealtime. So the fact that you're like two separate horse businesses and we're still able to do that, I think is awesome.
It's later than normal. I would say it's later than most people eat dinner.
I grew up like running a bunch of seasons of track and then I'd go to the barn after that. And like, so I would not eat with the rest of my family and I'd eat dinner at like 9 o'clock at night. And like, that was just normal. Having a family dinner is, that's a big deal.
I think it's a big deal. I think it's a very, I think it's, I mean, you hate to say it, but I think it's a privilege that we were able to make that happen.
Yeah, seriously. Well, this is super cool. So, okay. Here's a random question. If you guys weren't in the horse industry, what do you think you'd be doing? probably still having family dinner, really. So that's good.
I enjoyed teaching and coaching, probably, I would say, because I coached both our kids in soccer for several seasons when they were younger, and I would say if I wasn't in the horse business, I'd be probably some sort of a teaching position and a coaching position.
I love that.
I don't have an answer for that. I would not.
She's a beauty school dropout, so it wasn't that.
I am. Yes. Yes. When I was a sophomore in high school, I was 7 when I decided I was going to be a jockey. So my parents were like saying that I needed to have a backup. So I went to a vocational tech school like during high school for cosmetology. That's a really fun fact.
Did you really?
That
is a fun fact. All right.
That is, yeah, fun fact. So so I did that for my sophomore year. And then it was unplanned, but I ended up moving to Maryland for my junior year. And I did like a senior internship during my junior year. So I moved away from that cosmetology school. And that idea kind of just like, you know, subtly flew out the window. And then I did, in fact, drop out of high school to start riding races. So, yes, it was correct. I am a beauty school dropout. if I wasn't doing this, I would still be doing this.
Right. It's hard to imagine, right? Like, you guys have just integrated everything so well into your lifestyle.
I also really enjoy teaching, but I don't know what else I would have taught. I don't know what else I would be teaching.
Good point. Well, guys, this has been fascinating, very enjoyable. Where can people go to learn more about your respective programs?
Joe Sharp Racing is on Facebook and Instagram, and so that would be the best way. There's a contact number and email there, and I have somebody that checks that regularly. That's not myself. But
awesome.
The message gets to me.
Perfect. So.
I am mostly just on Facebook, and which shows my age because I do not have anybody doing that for me. So if you're getting a response on Facebook, it is me. But I've tried to integrate myself into Instagram many times, and I just get frustrated because it doesn't work the same as Facebook. So I give up every time. So anyway, Facebook it is.
Guys, thank you for having me. I'm getting ready to saddle a horse right now. They just walked in the paddock, so
All right. Good night, Joe. Good luck. Text us later. Let us know how it went.
Good luck.
Okay, bye-bye.
For first-time horse owners and new riders just starting out, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel Feed to bring you My New Horse, a place where equestrians just getting into horse ownership or riding will find the resources and community they need at precisely their stage of the equine journey. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines who are eager to find easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
Well, it's that time of the episode that everyone either gets annoyed with us or loves us because we're enabling them getting too many horses. And it is our segment with New Vocation. And today we have Bridget Heasley joining us again. Welcome back to the show, Bridget.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear about the temptation you're going to bring us with our adoptable horse of the week. But before we do, I have a different type of training question to ask you because it's not really about training the horses. It's training rider.
Okay.
I know we have had experience with very, we'll just say overconfident people wanting to adopt horses or train horses, whether they're new vocation specifics or horror stories that Kristen and I have experienced on our own with people. But what about the opposite side of the spectrum? And I'm talking about the timid adopter who is eager for their first time getting a off the track project. Specifically from new vocations where there's a little bit of that rework already there, but they have the experience, they have the endorsement, whether it's from their trainer or partners or whoever it may be, but there's something in them that they just aren't ready to take that confidence boost to say, I'm ready to do this. How do you work with them to build their confidence?
Yeah, so there is this like perception that these off the track horses are these scary fire breathing dragons, and that can be really, really intimidating for you know, an adult amateur or a junior rider to think, oh my gosh, I can't handle this horse. I've seen what they look like on the track, and you know, at the end of the day, they're still just horses, and you know, the organizations out here are doing our best to pair you with the right kind of horse for you. And so if you know that you have a sticking point, if a horse that doesn't load is just going to send you into a spiral and you can't deal with that, making sure to let the trainer know that, like, hey, I know it sounds weird, this is my deal breaker, or one that doesn't stand at the mounting step. Or if you just have something, right, because we all have something. We all have that deal breaker, whether it's just because it makes us nervous or it makes us angry. You know, we are here to help you find the right one for you. And our leveling system at New Vocations is a really great way to kind of stick your toe in, see what you think about different levels of horses, their behavior levels, their riding levels, things like that. We try to outline it as much as possible to make it easy for you to figure out if this is a suitable match for you. And then conversations with the trainer will take it a little further. But as these horses wind down from their life on the track and settle into their riding horse lives, like they become much like the horses that you are used to in your horse show barns. You know, they are people-oriented. They like to have a job. There's things that they may not know, but generally are very willing and eager to learn. And so it's important to know your limitations, but also know that these guys aren't necessarily as scary as sometimes we build them up to be in our heads.
I love that you say that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've always, you know, kind of thought of it like there comes a point where they're not X-race horses anymore, right? Like at what point, yeah, as you're looking at the horse, are you like, this is just a horse, right? Like you mentioned that earlier of like, they are just horses. And there's definitely a point, you know, kind of in that transition where you're like, stop thinking of it as an X-race horse and just start thinking of it as a horse.
Right. You know, when they've had the right amount of letdown time. And that leads me into another peeve in advertisements when people are looking for show horses and don't want anything that's ever set foot on a track a day in its life. And it's like, okay, well, this horse has been a show horse for the last 5 years. It's not a racehorse anymore. It's a show horse. And so the more downtime and the more handling and just being treated like the rest of your horses these guys get, the more they're just like the rest of your horses. And I know you have Wes and Lex, my standard bred, remind me of each other, that you wonder now, how did they race at all? Because their gear is slow. their only gear is slow. You're like, you want how much money? You know, they have that history. They have that, you know, backstory, but they become just like the rest of your horses once they've had enough time.
Well, I think the other thing that people need to remember is you can find out what their training is going to be like. You can do some investigating ahead of time to know what cues they've learned. And you know, I feel like when I got Astrid, it was very easy to reach out to her trainers and just get some history on her. Like, people want to talk about the horses they work with for the most part.
Yes. Yes.
The other side of it is, too, I think people forget some of the horses that we get put on during our, like, learning time. Like, I remember I've gotten put on many green horses because I had a capable seat at a certain age. And if does that prepare you to ride these horses who have somewhat more training than a lot of those horses that we've been put on in our lesson programs?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Or if you grew up in 4-H like me, you rode horses that had questionable training to begin with, and you just rode. You just rode.
Yeah, we called that working with the hand you were dealt, right? Like,
yes.
Like, this is what I have access to, baby. Here we go. Yes. Oh, dear. And you know what? We all live to tell the tale. So that's why we're all into retired racehorses now, because we're up for a little bit of spice and variety. And speaking of some spice and variety, let's talk about our adoptable horse of the week, who is so handsome in his photos.
Yes, Dalen Ryson is a very, very handsome guy. He is a pacing bred horse. Under saddle, though, he likes to trot, although I do think the right rider, if they wanted him to gate, could easily get him to do that. And he, unlike Wes and Lex, has a little more spunk. He's got a little more drive to work and kind of wants to get stuff done. So we really could see him thriving in endurance riding or mounted games, you know, stuff that kind of keeps his brain occupied and gives him somewhere to go and something to do. And he's, you know, always the first one to greet you at the gate and really, really likes having a job. So he's kind of getting bored here hanging out with me, where he only gets ridden just a little bit. He wants a job and something to focus on, but very, very handsome guy. Not necessarily what you would think of when you think standardbred. When you look at him, he's quite refined and has a bit of a thoroughbred-y silhouette.
Yeah, and I'm watching his video. I mean, he really, like, he's covering the ground. And he is, mm-hmm. like, you described him as animated and ambitious way of going, which I think is, like, a great way. And he's only, what, six? Just turned six? So he's still a little bit of a baby. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I could see this being like, look, there's two kinds of trail riders, right? There's like meander around and look at the trees trail riders. And then there's like go scale the mountain trail riders. And this is definitely a go scale the mountain kind of
horse.
He
is a go scale the mountain kind of horse. Yeah, absolutely. He's not the, you know, going slow with a beverage in your hand and just taking in the scenery. He's let's go tackle those hard trails. You know, the ones that scare me that I don't want to go on.
But yeah, I was like, I don't know. I have, those days might be behind me now. Like
calling all endurance riders right now if you're looking for your next horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even like some of those limited distance. I mean, like, you know, we all know that standardbreds have the endurance for that and the stamina. Like I could see this horse loving that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. He's a cool dude. It does. Yeah, it looks very, like very too. Cool. He's like very close to offering a canter in some of these moments in this video. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a whole lot to get this horse cantering.
No, I think he will be very easy to get to canter. He does want to step up underneath of himself in those corners there, and I don't think it would take much to push him into a canter. Likewise, I don't think it would take much again if you are into having a gated horse to teach him to gate.
Yeah. No, this horse is cool. I think for everyone who's like, oh, you know, like standardbreds are kind of just like mellow, easygoing. Like, not that this horse couldn't be mellow and easygoing, but like if you want something with a little more spice to it, like this is the pick for sure. Like this guy's got, he's quick on his feet. Like he's ready to go do things. So I think he seems to be he's the stereotype breaker for everyone who's like, standardbreds, they're just sort of like nice, quiet, boring, dull.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you, like, I don't have a boring, dull one either. But, like, yeah, this guy's got some athleticism and a little bit of spice to him. I like him.
Yeah, he's fun. He's a little bit different than a lot of the standardbreds that we have to offer. So he is looking for an ambitious person as well.
I love it. Now, and I see that he's on sale. You guys have a spring special going on. Is that right?
We do have a spring special going on. So there is, it's a sliding scale right now. Some of our horses have been with us a while and we're just not really sure why. So we're trying to offer some extra incentive for you to take a peek at some of our longer term residents, as well as our more recent trainees.
Love it. All right, folks, you know where to go, because unless you're new here, we have we've done this every episode, newvocations.org or horseadoption.com, and get those applications in so you are ready to go to grab very cool horses like Dalen Ryson when they come up on the website. Thanks very much, Bridget. You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. You can follow the network on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Writer, and you can follow along with our new farm adventures on Instagram at Painted Forest Farm. My email is kristen@horseradionetwork.com.
You can find me on Instagram at MisfitMare. So excited to bring more horse content and not just pictures of my dog, although she's flourishing too. And my email is joy@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and My New Horse, and to our new partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show as it helps us grow. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride.
And as always, cow side leg.
Bye, guys.